Thank you, Justin. Good morning. You know, I just want to first of all say thank you so much to all of you who have written your letter to the next president, to Justin and myself. It has really helped us shape this teaching series, and it is just something that we can really learn from as we look into this. And today I want to look into Nehemiah and nation building. But first I want to begin with a clip of one of my favorite movie series. Who here has seen either National Treasure 1 or 2? Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. It's a family movie. You can watch it and not have to worry about holding the mute button or something else with your kids. And now, of course, if you're a parent, I want you to watch it first because maybe you don't approve of some things that I haven't thought about in that movie. So please watch it before you let your kids see it. But in this clip, Ben Gates was able to kidnap a willing president so that he could get him alone to ask him about the president's secret book that every president has. And this conversation took period. They're celebrating the president's birthday, and there's this secret passageway, of course, that Ben Gates knew about that the president was excited about and went down with him. And so you guys got that ready? Let's hear it here.
And you're not going to tell me how to get out of here unless you get what you want.
The way out is that direction, and I'll show you.
You don't negotiate very well, do you?
No, sir.
Mr. President, where are my sledgehammers?
No, I don't get you, Gates. You do all this, you're willing to go to prison just to clear your ancestor's name.
The way out is just down those stairs. Everything I am is because of my ancestors, sir. Thomas Gates gave his last full measure of devotion to his country to stop the KGC. When someone dies for their country, I believe they should be honored.
Last full measure of devotion.
Lincoln's my favorite president, sir. No offense.
None taken. He's my favorite, too.
Sir, I know the book exists, and my question is, will you agree to let me see it?
Even if something like that really did exist, why do you think I would actually just give it to you?
Because it will probably lead us to the discovery of the greatest Native American treasure of all time. A huge piece of culture lost. You can give that history back to its descendants. Because you're the President of the United States, sir. Whether by innate character, or the oath you took to defend the Constitution, or the weight of history that falls upon you, I believe you to be an honorable man, sir.
Gates, people don't believe that stuff anymore.
They want to believe it.
You are the President of the United States, sir. Whether by innate character or the oath you took to defend the Constitution or the weight of history that falls upon you, I believe you to be an honorable man. Last week, Justin spoke of a time in Jewish history that's written in the Old Testament of the Bible where people weren't doing as God commanded, and it came to a point where God threw them out of the land that he had promised them, he had given them. And like a parent a child, God disciplined the Jewish people. God said, "You haven't kept my commandments, you've broken our covenant, so I am throwing you out." And this week's story takes place at the end of that time of discipline. It's at least 70, maybe 80 years later. And the Hebrew people have been scattered. And if you remember right, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians scattered them. And now, under the control of the Persian Empire, the king told them to go home. Go on, rebuild your nation. Now, he says you're going to have to pay taxes, of course, once your nation gets on its feet. But go home, rebuild. And so a group of people went back to Jerusalem and began rebuilding their nation. Now, although this was great financially, the people of Israel were in terrible shape. And around 444 BC, 444 BC, before the Common Era, the king of Persia, King Artaxerxes, spoke with Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a Jew, and you have to understand, he was in the king's court. It's amazing how these Jews through history can make it to the king's court, isn't it? But my understanding and what we read in the Bible in verse 1 is that one thing that Nehemiah did was taste the wine of the king. And they would wait for a little bit, and if Nehemiah didn't fall over dead, it was good wine for the king to drink. All right? Did that with food and things like that. And he became a personal friend and of the king and the king's wife. And so around 444, the king of Persia spoke with Nehemiah. And in chapter 2, we see that the king sent Nehemiah to Jerusalem to rebuild it, along with letters. Now, what letters are, it's proving to people that Nehemiah runs across that he was actually sent by the king. It is sealed letters, very powerful letters. He was also sent with money from the king to help rebuild. He was also sent with protection. We don't know for sure how many people went with him to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the country of Israel, but he had plenty of protection from the king. So now he has political authority and the backing of the Persian Empire. He goes to Jerusalem and he shares with his people. Now think about this. These people have gone to Jerusalem and they have set up this community. They're beginning to rebuild. And here comes Nehemiah and he says, I am in control of this situation. How would you feel in that situation? Yeah, you've been working so hard and this guy comes who says he's a Jew. You know he was in the king's court, right? And he comes and he says, the king has sent me to rebuild this nation. So anyway, he goes and he shares this vision with the people that are there and they buy into it. They like the vision and they say, let us rebuild the walls. Let us rebuild Jerusalem first and then the country around it. So in Nehemiah 6:15, it tells us, now think about this, many of you have probably seen Jerusalem's wall. I have not. I've just seen pictures of it. But Nehemiah 6:15 tells us that they rebuilt the wall in 52 days in 444 BC. That's pretty amazing to me. So amazing, it's almost unbelievable in my small mind. But I mentioned earlier that financially, the people of Israel were in big trouble. What had happened is that foreign nations, now stick with me here, okay? We're leading up to our scripture for today. Foreign nations had heard how vulnerable Israel was financially. And they sent their money lenders to Israel, to the cities, and they loaned money to the people of Israel. And they charged very high interest rates. Are you with me? Because of this, much of the land, the livestock, even children and wives had become slaves to these foreign lenders because the people couldn't repay the loans that they had taken out, primarily because of the high interest rate that they had, honestly, the right to charge. It was their money. Not only that, but we also learn that some of the Jewish officials also provided loans and set and charged high interest rates. And not only were they charging these high interest rates, but they were also getting slaves, fellow Jewish slaves, because these people couldn't repay their loans. Now, as you might imagine, I don't know, you can imagine how mad you might be, but Nehemiah was furious in this situation. Here he comes to help his people. He comes to help the people of Israel, and he finds out that not only these foreign lenders are coming in and doing this, but also Jewish people are doing it to themselves. They're taking advantage of their brothers in the faith, and that is where our scripture for today begins. So if you want to get your Bibles out, I'm just going to step right down through here. I'm not going to add anything to it. And I'm going to start with Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6. And this is what Nehemiah said as he brought these Jewish, quote-unquote, leaders together. He says, I was very angry when I heard their outcry, the people's outcry and their complaints. After thinking it over, I brought charges against the nobles and the officials, and I said to them, you are taking interest from your own people. So now remember, here Nehemiah had come into this area with the king's money and with his own money. He'd paid off the foreign lenders. He gave the livestock. He gave the wives and the children. He gave the land back to the Jewish people. And the next thing he learns is that Jewish leaders, the Jewish nobles, are lending money to these people and taking the land back because they're charging such high interest rates. So they're taking advantage of the system that, well, or lack of a system that is set up in Israel, this makeshift Israel at the time. So again, Nehemiah had taken his own money and the money that he had brought from the Persian king, paid off all this money that the Jews owed to these foreign lenders, and come to find out the Jewish nobles have been lending money as well. And he says, now you have done this to your kin. The same thing that these Gentiles have done, and I paid them off to have to get our land back. But once again, I have to spend my money to bail out these Jews and pay Jews that have lent them this money. And this is your fault. You shouldn't do this to your own people. And if you move down to 5, he says, again, moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. So not only were these rich noble Jews lending them money, but he and his group that came from Persia were lending them money as well. But the last sentence in verse 10 is, let us stop this taking of interest. Let us stop this taking of interest. He's telling them to stop charging interest right now so that these foreign lenders won't come back into Israel and take over the young economy that will become Israel. And he says as well, if they do, guess whose fault it is? Guess whose fault it is? Verse 11. Nehemiah says, restore to them this very day their fields. Now think about this. I just want to set this up in your mind. Here are all these rich Jewish nobles sitting in this room who have lended, what is the correct term there? Lent? Huh? Is that correct? Who have given money with high interest to these people and they can't pay it back. And so they have gained these people's vineyards. They have gained these people's livestock, wives and children to be their slaves. And Nehemiah says, all right, so you're thinking about the power that they have, right? And Nehemiah says, restore to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards and their houses and the interest on money, grain, wine, and oil that you have been exacting from them. Now you can imagine he heard a whoopla and a hallelujah whenever he said to do that, didn't he? I mean, I'm sure those people were more than willing to give back all of that, plus the money that they had gotten from the people, plus the interest that they have gotten from the people. Don't you think they were more than willing to do that? I mean, wouldn't you be willing to do that? Yes, no? Are you out there today? You not knowing what I'm looking for? You afraid to answer? Huh? Yeah. Well, the amazing thing is, Scripture says, then they said, we will restore everything and demand nothing more from them. We will do as you say. That's when you know this is a Bible story, right? No, seriously. They said this, and even Nehemiah is going, yeah, right. I mean, it's easy, isn't it, to sit next... Yeah, I'm going to give up my chariot tonight. Yeah, that's right. But whenever you walk out of that room, what happens? Oh, did Nehemiah say something? I don't quite remember this. And so what did Nehemiah do in the following... Actually, it's still the same verse. It's just the second half of 12. Nehemiah says, you know, I really don't trust these guys. He's thinking in his head. Of course, this isn't in Scripture. I'm just inferring here, all right? And he says, I called the priests and I made them take an oath to do it as they had promised. So he didn't trust these rich nobles, did he? He says, okay, this isn't just between you and me. This is between you and me and God. We're gonna make this a covenant here. And so when you walk out of this room, it's not just a promise you've made to me. It's a promise that you've made to your God and to my God. It's a promise. And so as he continues, he says something that's kind of strange. He says, I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out everyone from the house and from property who does not perform his promise. Now, if you think about it, some of you have seen me wear my robe. And whenever you think about that, that was kind of their everyday garb. They had robes on. And to shake out, that means to let it be seen. You know what I'm saying? To shake it out. If you don't do what you say, you're losing everything. He's praying that God will... Well, he's just praying that God will take everything away if they don't do exactly what they promised their nation and their God. That they then will lose their family. That they will lose their homes. That they will lose their property if they don't carry through with their promises. Essentially, he prayed that God would strip them, would shake them out of everything that they have. He prayed that God would take everything from them. And Nehemiah, now listen to me, is saying to them that if you walk out of here today, if you walk out of here and you don't understand the depth of this problem that we are a part of in this country, if you don't do what's best for this country, if you don't get involved, I'm asking God to come after you. That's essentially what he's saying. He is saying, God, shake them out until they understand what is at stake. Shake them out, God. And guess what their response is? Anybody want to guess? In 13. And all the assembly said what? Everybody together, you're looking at it. Amen! Hey, what does amen mean? So be it. That's right. So they said, so be it. And praise the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a minute. Eric, you just had to make this up for this sermon this morning. There's some things going on in this chapter that's too much like our world today for it to be in our scripture. Can you believe, though? I mean, that's one reason why I read it straight from Nehemiah. Folks, this was almost 2,500 years ago. And it sure sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sure sounds familiar. You see, God gave us this book to use as a beacon in our life, as well as in our nation's life. Many of you know what Psalm 119 tells us. And if I start it out, maybe you can finish it for me. These words are to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Believe it or not, this is a story that is many, many years old. And yet it is still relevant today. Isn't it amazing how God works through Scripture? And another amazing thing is the leadership that Nehemiah showed in this story. Have you thought about that? What compassion for people. And this is something I didn't tell you earlier. He probably had never been to Jerusalem. He wasn't even born when they were sent out of the country. He had probably never in his life been to Jerusalem and may not have known many Jews. And yet, what compassion for a people that he didn't know. What financial sacrifice to people he'd never met. He paid off their loans. Yes, he had the king's money, but he used his as well. He paid off their loans, and then he paid the Jews those loans so that these people could have their land and their property and their sons and their daughters and their wives. What a strong way to build a nation again from this young, torn down nation, and do it from security in building the wall to financial security as well. And you know, today as we leave, one of my favorite scripture in the entire Bible is taken from the book of Psalms. If you want to turn with me, the book of Psalms. The whole chapter is pretty cool in my eyes. It helped me through a really tough time in my life. But I want to look at the last two verses. And as we think about our letter to the next president, I want to read you verses 23 and 24 in the 139th Psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Do you remember the words that Ben Gates used in the clip? You are the President of the United States, sir. Whether by innate character, the oath you took to defend the Constitution, or the weight of history that falls upon you. Can you imagine? I believe you to be an honorable man. May it be so. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We celebrate your anointing upon this church. And the church is the people. And so we give you thanks and praise for the anointing upon us. We give you thanks and praise for so many gifts, Lord, that you allow us to experience, both small and large. And God, as we go from this place, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to your will and your way. May our words be your words. May our actions be the actions that you would approve of. May we spread your grace and your glory and expand your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.